Please turn to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. It's right after the book of 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. We're reading the account here. We'll be reading verses 18 through 22. Y'all please stand with us in a reverence to the reading of the Word of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Verses 18 through 22, the Bible says this: The sons of Reuben and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, of valiant men, men able to bear buckler and sword and to shoot with bow and skillful in war, were 440,703 that went out to war. And they made war with the Hagarites, with Jeter, with Nepish and Nodab. And they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them. For they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them, because they put their trust in him. And they took away their cattle, of their camels 50,000, and of sheep 250,000, and of asses 2,000, and of men 100,000. For there fell down many slain, because the war was of God, and they dwelt in their steads until the captivity. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for the opportunity to be able to preach your word, Lord. And God, what an honor and a privilege it is, Lord, and I thank you for that. And now, God, I pray that you'd help me this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help me to say exactly what needs to be said, Lord. And may the message come across the way you'd have it to. I pray for the hearts of the listeners, God. May you open hearts and may your word, God, be received, Lord, the way it should be. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you for all you've done. Thank you for being our God. May we love you by living for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, we have the story of Reuben, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. And we know from the book of the Old Testament, these were the tribes that they were going to stay on the one side of Jordan. They wanted their promised possession to be on the one side of Jordan, while all the other ones crossed over and possessed the promised land. And Moses said, or Joshua said, you can do that, but you're going to have to go over and you're going to have to help us fight for the land over there. But then if you want to do that, we'll let you come back over. So this is the story here of them going out to battle. And the Bible says they made war with these groups of people. And the Bible says that they fought against them, and they cried unto God, and he helped them, and he delivered them, and they took away their spoil, and they won the battle. And title my sermon this morning, I pull out a verse 20, where it says this. It says, "And all that were with them, for they cried to God in the battle." And I want to talk to us this morning about this subject, in the battle. You know, folks, unfortunately, war is a part of life. And you don't have to look too far to find its effects. All you have to do is turn on the evening news. And every night we see the effects of wars, how it affects the lives of humans. You know, every night on the news they have this thing where they honor fallen heroes. And every night when I'm able to watch the news, I look on there and I see young men my age or younger who've sacrificed their lives for this country. And I don't know about you, but that does something to me. When I watch that, I get goosebumps going down my arm. Here are men that are my age or younger who have died for the cause of America. You know, there's been over 14,000 wars in the last 5,000 years of human history. 14,000 wars. Here's some statistics here. Just about some Americans. In the War for Independence, there were 25,324 Americans that died in the War for Independence. And of course, we know that's the war that separated us from England, that allowed us to be a nation. 25,324 Americans died for this country. The War of 1812, there were 2,260 Americans that gave their lives. The Civil War, on our own soil, there in the Northern Army, there were 363,020 men that gave their lives for this country. In the Confederate Army, there were 199,110, which made the total deaths of Americans in the Civil War 562,130. Over half a million American blood was shed during the Civil War. In the Spanish-American War, there was 2,893 men that gave their lives. In World War I, there was 116,708 Americans that died. In World War II, 408,306 Americans gave their lives for our country. 400,000, almost half a million just in World War II alone. Vietnam, there were 58,219 American casualties. That brings a total of 1,175,840 lives lost for war for this country we live in today. You know, it's a no wonder when you go a place and you see someone trash that flag back there. If you're any kind of red-blooded American, that should do something to you. You know, when you're at a sporting event and someone disrespects the flag by not standing up during the national anthem or putting their hand over the heart. I don't know about you, but that does something to me. Because over 1 million people have given their lives for that flag and for this country we live in today. A lot of people have died for America. That's a different kind of battle I want to talk about today, even though that I'm not downplaying those lives lost or that war that was fought. But you know what, folks, as Christians, you understand something. We are in a battle. Right. As Christians, the Bible is filled. God tells us many and many times that we as Christians are in a battle. And that's the battle I want to talk about this morning. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, very famous quoted verse, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Folks, that's our enemy. Our enemy is not each other. Our enemy is the spiritual forces of darkness. That's who God says we're fighting against. Although sometimes it seems we strive with each other, our true enemy is against Satan and his enemies of darkness. And folks, we are in a spiritual battle. If we could all as Christians just understand that, if we can comprehend the fact that our war is not against each other, it's not against the authority God has placed over us, it's not against our fellow Christians, it's against Satan and his enemies of darkness. If there's anything Satan does to get us off track, he gets us fighting amongst ourselves. Because if we fight amongst ourselves, we won't do anything against him. We won't fight against him. We won't understand the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. But if anything we understand this morning is that we are in a spiritual battle. And from this passage I read you this morning out of 1 Chronicles, I want to pull out just a few observations that can help us and help us understand this thing about spiritual warfare and help us understand the fact that as Christians, we need to be fighting for the right cause. First thing I want to observe here is that in a battle, in the spiritual battle we're fighting, you must choose a side in this battle. Verse 18, look who's fighting here. The sons of Reuben, the Gadites, half the tribe of Manasseh. This is Israel, folks. This is God's chosen people. This is the right side here. And we find out it goes down and tells us who they're fighting against. And you know what, folks? There's always two sides in a battle. There's two sides are always fighting against something. Right now, our country, we're fighting against terrorism. We're fighting against those people who hate America, who come in and do things to our country and in other countries. That's who the war's against. But folks, you know what? As a Christian, we must pick the side. We must decide what side of the battle we're going to be on. And I ask you this morning, are you on the Lord's side or are you on Satan's side? Are you saved or are you lost? You know, everyone here today, you're either on one side or the other. You can't walk out of here undecided. You're either on one side or the other. You say, but I'm neutral in this battle. You're not neutral. You're either saved or you're lost. You must pick a side. Moses said this after he come down off the mount. And the people were down in the camp. They were worshiping the golden calf. They were committing whoredoms against God. This is what Moses said. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And folks, there is a deciding line. You must decide what side you're going to be on. You may say, you know what, I'm not a Christian, but I don't hate God. I'm not against God. Well, let me give you a quote from none other than Jesus Christ when he said this. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Let me tell you something, there is no neutral ground. If you're not for Christ, if you're not saved and with him, guess what? You are against him. Amen. You say, but I believe in God. Who cares? The devils believe in God. Right. Satan believes in God. Pick your side this morning. Amen. What side are you on? Are you saved or are you lost? Very important for us to understand here. Because, folks, the spiritual battle is over the souls of men. I hope you understand that. That's what it's about. Because Satan realizes he can't win the war. He knows that. He's not stupid. So you know what he's doing is he's out trying to claim the souls of men, take as many people to hell with him as he can. You must pick what side you're on. Choosing a side requires a decision. You must choose today to be on the side of Christ if you're not already. You need to choose. You know, once again, God in His mercy has allowed us all to come to that point where He's given us another chance. You know what? There could be a lost person here today. There could be someone who's not saved today. And God has given you that chance once again to be able to choose Him before it's eternally too late. If you're not saved today, why don't you pick the side of Christ? Why don't you pick the side that most people in this room today are on? That's what side we need you on, folks. God needs you on a side. So you must pick today. You must choose a side. That's the first thing we must understand in the battle. You got to decide what side you're fighting on. You must choose a side. Next, you must be able in the battle. Look at verse 18 with me. It says this. It says that they were men able to bear buckler and sword and to shoot with bow and skillful in war. Not only were they on a side, but they were able to perform their duties as a soldier. What good is it to go into battle if you're not able to fight and you get killed by the enemy? Why even be in battle? You must be able in the battle. Christians, you must be able to perform your duties as a Christian so you can make something happen for God. You must be able in the battle that we're fighting. You know, our soldiers that are fighting right now, you know what? They know how to be a soldier. They go to something called boot camp. They do training. They know how to shoot a gun. They know how to throw grenades. And they know how to do things like that. They wouldn't be fighting for a country if they didn't know how to do those things. It would be just as silly for one of them to just automatically go to Iraq and skip boot camp as it would be for us to try to enter this battle without being able in the battle. You know, you need to be able to perform as a Christian successfully. You know, the people in Blessed Hope Baptist Church should be able to stand up for the truth, resist wrong, lead someone to Christ, know what they believe and why they believe it. They must be able to keep their marriages in order, be faithful to God's house, and make a difference for eternity. We need to be able to do that, folks, as Christians. We need to be able to perform our Christian duty successfully. You know, God doesn't want us to be defeated all the time. Do you understand that? And most of the time, the reasons we are defeated is our own fault. Because we don't follow God's principles that He lays out in His Word for us to be successful Christians. We must be able in this battle. You know, with a general like Pastor Jerry at the helm of this church, we have no excuse not to be able. He teaches us right. He teaches us the Word of God. He helps us all grow. We have no excuse. We can't look to our leadership and say it's their fault. Or God, it's your fault. No, it's our fault. We must be willing to be able to fight in the battle. And we all need to be able. It takes all of us, folks. We need to be able to walk with God. How important it is as Christians that we walk with God. And we preached about this before. This is not new stuff. But we need to be able to walk with God so we can stand against the devil. How many times in the Bible does God tell Christians that they need to stand? Not sit. Not just be there, but to be able to stand strong in the battle. We must be able in the battle. In order to be able, you must be well trained. You can't be able in the battle, folks, if you don't ever come to church. This is our training ground. This is kind of like our boot camp where we learn how to go forth out into the world and do battle against the devil. We have enough people out in the world who have left churches for obvious reasons or whatever and who have fallen to the devil. They're a casualty of the enemy. I don't know about you, but guess what, folks? I don't want to be a casualty. I want to be victorious. I don't know if it's maybe just because I'm a man or what, but guess what? I hate to lose, okay? This week, when we went down to camp, we played some games, and guess what? I lost a couple games. And sure, you know, we went and shook the other team's hand, but inside of me, there was something that didn't like to lose. I don't like to lose. In fact, this week down at camp, I have this game called carpet ball. I know all the kids know what that is. And every year I go down there, I play with the kids. And I just want to let you know, my record this week for carpet ball, I won 80. I added 85 games, only lost 10. So I'm kind of proud of that. And all the kids were lined up to play me. And they're like, but that isn't fair. We want to play. I'm like, who cares? I'm a counselor. I get to call a counselor game. So it was great, you know. But guess what, folks? I don't like to lose. And I think if you do like to lose, there's something to matter. Spiritually. You know, I don't like to lose spiritually either. I don't like it when the devil calls it or tempts me and I do something I shouldn't do. I don't like it when I fail spiritually. I don't like it when I fail God. I don't like it when God tells me when I should witness someone and I let the opportunity pass by. I don't like it when I do things I shouldn't do. I don't like to fail. Neither should you. We should want to succeed spiritually. There should be a burning desire inside of us to want to do what God wants us to do. And you know what? That's what we're doing here at Blessed Old Baptist Church. We're training everyone to be able. We're in training here, folks. This is kind of like you come here on Sunday mornings and on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. The church is kind of like a hospital. You get to come here and kind of get your wounds helped a little bit. You also get to come here and get debriefed how to go out and beat the enemy this week. That's part of what church is about, folks. You must be able. First of all, I said you must choose a side. You must be able. Next, you must go out into the battle. Verse 18, at the end of it, it says this, that went out to war. Verse 19, and they made war. You know, folks, guess what? These two words here are action verbs. They made war. They went out to war. And you know what? They didn't wait for the enemies to lay down their weapons and surrender. Guess what? They went out and got them. And you know what? As Christians, we should be going out after the enemy. This is an interesting note here. When it says who they made war with, and here, see that second name there when it says they made war with Jeter? You know who Jeter is? That's the descendants of Ishmael. And I don't know if most of you probably realize this, but see, Ishmael was Abraham's son with the bondwoman he brought up from Egypt. So here we have God's people fighting against the same people out through history. And I'm sure most of you realize that's the same people we're fighting against today. The descendants of Ishmael and Jeter were the Arabs, who were the same people we're fighting against today. And you know, folks, it's amazing how one wrong decision has rippled out through all history. One wrong decision Abraham made, and we are still feeling the effects today. But very interesting who they were fighting against here. But you know what they did? They went out in the battle. And you know what, as Christians, we must do? We must go to the battle. We must go out in the battle. You know, when Jesus, remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, Peter, and he told him about the church, said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Someone tell me, what are gates? You know what gates are? They're a defensive weapon. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what that's talking about? The church should be on an offensive attack against the forces of the devil, against hell itself. What do you think he said? That the gates of hell shall not prevail. You know, the church should be storming the gates of hell. That's exactly what we should be doing. You know, I love that song, Hold the Fort. But you know what, folks? I don't necessarily agree with that. Hold the fort. We're not supposed to be holding the fort. We're supposed to be storming the gates of hell. As Christians, that's what we need to be going out and doing. We need to be doing our part and giving the devil a good fight. You know, every time you turn your back on sin, you understand something, you're attacking the evil side. Did you know that every time you open your mouth and give someone the gospel or hand out a tract or tell someone about Jesus and invite them to church, you know what you're doing? You're attacking the host of Satan. You understand that when you stay faithful to God and serve Him like many of the people in this church have for years and years and years, they've been faithful to God, that they've stayed true, and they've done the things they should do. You don't understand what you're doing? You're delivering an offensive blow to the devil on his side. You understand we were out there this morning, bus workers, running your bus route. You understand what you're doing? You are helping launch an attack against the devil. You're out there trying to claim some of those people he's trying to get and drag to hell with him. When you taught your Sunday school classes this morning, Sunday school teachers, you're delivering an offensive blow against the devil. Anytime we as Christians obey God and do what's right, we are delivering an attack against the devil. Every time we resist sin, we stand up for God, we're delivering an attack against the devil. Don't be afraid to go in the battle. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says this, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Someone said, what does a soldier do? A soldier fights. That's his job, is to fight. And here, Paul admonishes Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what, folks? That's what we need to be. We need to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Because, folks, there's a battle out there. Can't you look around and see it? Can't you pick up the papers and see what's going on, folks? You know, all these problems that even our community is dealing with, all this meth and all this other junk going around. You know what that is, folks? That's a spiritual battle. Satan is winning over in the lives of people. We must do our part, folks, to fight the spiritual battle. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, folks, we need to learn to endure. You know, we Christians sometimes are a bunch of wimps. We are. We just have it too easy in America. And anytime something little comes along, we want to whine about it and wonder why God's letting this happen to us. Folks, we need to learn to endure some hardness. Why do you think God would say to endure hardness if there wasn't going to be some hardness? There's going to be some hardness along the way, folks. It's not always easy to do. But as Christians, we need to be the kind of soldiers we ought to be. First of all, I said you must choose a side. You must be able in the battle. You must go in the battle. Next, you must expect help in the battle. Look with me at verse 20. And they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them, for they cried to God in the battle. And he was entreated of them, because they put their trust in him. Notice, you know what, folks? They didn't have to do it on their own. And aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad you don't have to live this thing called the Christian life on your own? Because guess what, folks? If we tried to live it on our own, we would fail. We wouldn't be able to be good soldiers if we had to do it on our own. And you know, anytime we stand and try to do something in our flesh, we're doing it on our own. But thank God that they had some help here in the battle. Notice something. You know what God did? God required them to go into the battle before he helped them. And a lot of times, folks, God requires obedience before he will bring deliverance. God sometimes will require us to obey before he will help us be delivered. You know what that is? That's true faith, folks. That's not necessarily being able to see the outcome, but yet we trust God anyway. You know, folks, that's what you do every time you put your tithe check into place. You say, God, I'm obeying you. Now I expect a blessing of it because I'm obeying you. And I'm not saying you need to be cocky to God and give your tithe just because you want a blessing. But you know what? That's what God does. He doesn't say, I'm going to bless you before and then you tithe. No. He says, you tithe and I'm going to bless you. And you know what he did here? He didn't help them until they engaged in the battle. You know what we need to do, folks? We must engage and then expect help in the battle. For that's what God did. What happened? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When were they delivered? After they were in the furnace. Not before. God just as easily could have. But he delivered them after they were in the furnace. How about Daniel in the lion's den? When did God deliver Daniel? Did he deliver them? Did he deliver him before he was thrown in the lion's den? No. He delivered after he was thrown in the den. How about Peter on the wave? Did Jesus help Peter? No. Peter had to start sinking first, and then Jesus helped him. And folks, a lot of times, all the time, God requires obedience before he will bring deliverance. If you will, turn with me to Psalms chapter 3. I want to read this psalm to you. It goes right along with our message this morning. Psalms chapter 3. Psalms chapter 3 says this. Of course, it's a psalm of David. And if you have your Scofield, you understand that this is a psalm when he fled from his own son Absalom, and Absalom was chasing him, trying to take over his kingdom. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help of him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. You notice that, folks? You know, when David prayed, that was after he was being chased by his own son Absalom. when he was in the midst of trouble. And you know what David found out? That in the midst of trouble, he found that God would help him when he asked. And you know what, folks? Don't be afraid of the hard times we go through. A lot of times, God wants to go through those times so he can show us how real he is to us. And people who have been through the valley, who have walked through things that are just unexplainable, that's where they meet God the most. And God shows himself to them. So folks, when life is coming down on you from all around, cry out to God and trust in him. And facing tough times, you need to trust in God. Things aren't going well for you, you need to trust in God. Kids are in school, sometimes you say, well, I'm just in school, I'm a kid, I can't seem to get my schoolwork done sometimes. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to do it and then trust in God. Someone I know is having some health problems. Let's just trust in God. Anything in life we face, we must trust in God and expect him to help us. I love that last verse. It says this: salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Folks, just because when we face tough times doesn't mean God's forgot us. Doesn't mean God's neglected us. He's trying to work some stuff out in our life. And we must trust in him. Next, turn with me back over to 2 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, I'm sorry. 1 Chronicles chapter 5 once again. It said, first of all, you must choose a side in the battle. You must be able in the battle. You must go out into the battle. And then you must expect help in the battle. Next observation I want to make is this. You must expect victory in the battle. Look here at verse 21. And they took away their cattle, of their camels 50,000, and sheep 250,000, of asses 2,000, and of men 100,000. Guess what they did, folks? They won the battle. And as Christians, we must expect victory in the battle. You know what? The battle might take your life. You say, but I didn't win. How many times have you heard someone say, so-and-so, you know, lost their battle with this sickness? Well, guess what, folks? If you're saved, you didn't lose that battle. You didn't lose the battle if you're saved because, folks, we can't lose if we're saved. Because death is just a vehicle to eternity for us. You realize that, folks? I wish we could just understand how many times I emphasize to our Christian school kids. How many times could we, if we could just understand, if we could just comprehend, folks, that guess what? There's eternity waiting on us. And this life we live, when compared to eternity, is nothing, folks. And, look what God does for us. Look how fair. Everyone wants to gripe about how unfair things are. Well, let's just look at some for a minute, okay? God says this, all right? He says, I will give you an eternity. If you will serve me, if you will live your life the way you should, be the kind of Christian you should during the 1,000-year millennial reign, you're going to rule and reign with me. You understand something, folks? Not every Christian is going to have a good time in the millennial reign. You know, the Bible says that we're going to be able to rule and reign with him. You know what some Christians are going to be ruling and reigning over? A mop, a broom. One of my Bible teachers in college said that the millennial reign was to get some of those Christians ready for heaven that wasted their life on earth. And I truly believe that. Because who are we going to rule and reign over, folks? We got to rule and reign over somebody. And God says, if you will take your life on earth and you will live for me, I'll let you rule and reign with me for 1,000 years. Now, folks, this is not even including eternity here. This is just 1,000 years. About how many years on earth does God promise us? About 70 years. And approximately for the first 18 years of your life, young people, you pretty much do what your parents tell you to do. So let's just deduct those 18. Let's say you live to be 70 years old. That's 52 years that you get to make your own decisions. That you get to live life how you want to live it. And you know what God says? That for those approximately 52 years, if you will live for me, if you will give me those years, I'm going to let you rule and reign with me for 1,000. And that doesn't even include eternity, folks. That's just 1,000-year millennial reign. And everybody wants to talk about how unfair God is. I think maybe we're the ones that are unfair to God. And God says, eternity's coming. Live for me while you're down here on earth so you can enjoy eternity. You know, I wonder what year in eternity, if we even keep track of years, Dan, I wonder what year we're going to be glad that we gave our all to God. I wonder maybe if it's going to be the 2,000th year in eternity. Man, I'm glad I gave God my short 70 years. Or maybe it'll be the 4,000th year in eternity. I don't know, folks. But I'll tell you one thing. If you've given your life for God, you've served him, you fought the battle, guess what? One of these days you're going to be glad. And if you've wasted your life, you will spend eternity until God wipes away those tears, regretting the fact that you did not give God those few short years on earth. Folks, understand something. Eternity is coming. It's not a joke. Jesus Christ is coming back. Help us all to realize. Help us to understand the fact, folks, that one of these days we will live eternally somewhere. And if you're in heaven, folks, you're going to want to make sure that you've lived your life the way God wanted you to live it. So you must expect victory in the battle. Folks, death is not losing. If you're saved, death is just a vehicle to get us to eternity. So expect victory in the battle. Expect to win the battle. Expect to win those battles down here on earth that we fight. Expect to win those spiritual battles, those hard times we go through. Expect to win them, folks, because God promised that He would help us to get through. We need to have an attitude of victory. If you have an attitude of defeat, you won't win. You must have an attitude of victory. And don't settle for defeat. You don't have to be defeated. What's the Bible say? A just man falleth 7 times and does what? Riseth up again. You say, but I got knocked on my face. So what? Get up. You say, but it's hard. I fell. So what? Get up. Jesus said, the just man, he falls and he gets back up. He falls and he gets back up. He falls and he gets back up. They're falling, they get right back up. And you know what? That's what we need to do. When we fall, don't let the devil jump on your shoulder and put you on a pity party about how wicked you are. Yes, we are. But guess what, folks? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness and we can have victory. Don't settle for defeat. People, a lot of times, I'm afraid that the reason they're so defeated is because they want to be defeated. They don't want to win. We must fight. We must not settle for defeat. Why don't some people win the battle? Because they're not expecting to win. And folks, we must expect to win the battle. One more and I'm almost done. Last one. Many times, this is the question everybody asks. Why? How many times have you heard that? Why? I don't understand why. Why is God letting this happen to me? Why the battle? Well, look with me here in verse 22. It says this. For there fell down many slain because the war was of God. And folks, battles, things we face, the hardships in life, help us to see our need of God. How many times will we go through what we go through? Or if we never faced those times, we would never meet God the way that He meets us during those times. Why the battles? Because God knows we need Him. That's why. God allows those things to happen to us because He knows we need them. Battles help us see that the fact that we need God. And folks, guess what? We do need God. And sometimes when things are going real easy for us, as Christians, sometimes we're kind of lax. And we kind of forget the fact that, you know, it's all about Him. And He wants us dependent upon Him for everything. So sometimes God allows those to happen to us so we will see our need of Him. And throughout every battle you face, folks, understand something. You need God. I need God. We need Him. And the day you lose the fact that you need Him, that's a scary point to be as a Christian. Because we do need Him. So no matter what you're facing, folks, no matter what you go through, no matter what battles in life you may face, understand something. We need God. And a lot of times He will allow that to happen to us so we can see our need of Him. You know what, folks? If it wasn't for war, guess what? We wouldn't be in America today. You understand something? That if the colonials never would have risen up and fought against England and shed all those lives, guess what? America wouldn't exist. If we wouldn't have fought in those wars throughout history and those people wouldn't have defended America, guess what? We couldn't be here today. We might not be here today. We could be living in a communist America. We wouldn't be here without war. Folks, as a Christian, we must battle the way we should. I said, first of all, you must choose a side. And if you're here today and you're undecided, why don't you decide to choose today? If you're not saved, why don't you decide to join up for the battle and be on the side of right? You must choose a side. And if you're not saved, you are going to choose today. Because deciding to reject is deciding the wrong side. You must choose a side. We must be able in the battle. Folks, let us be able. Let us be able as Christians. Let us be the type of Christians we ought to be. Let us be the strong Christians we ought to be. Let us live the victorious Christian lives we should. Let us be able in the battle. Next, let us go into battle. You know, maybe some of us have decided we're just not, it looks hard out there. It looks like it might hurt. We might get hit out in the battle. So I'm not going to go out there. Folks, the rewards of going out and fighting for God outweigh much more than the rewards of sitting on the sideline. Let us go out into the battle. Let us expect help in the battle. Folks, God wants to help us in the battle. He wants to be there and help us. But He wants to see if we're going to do our part and have faith in Him. Let us expect Him to help us. Then let us expect victory. Folks, God wants you to win. Do you understand that? God doesn't want you to lose. He wants you to win. Get it inside of you, folks. Be victorious. Don't settle for defeat. When the devil maybe knock you down, get right back up. Don't settle for anything less than victory. And understand something, folks, that God knows we need the battles when they come. God knows we need Him. So the next time you're facing a hardship, you're facing a battle in a spiritual life, don't despair. Understand something. God's trying to put that in our life for a reason. May we all be the soldiers for Jesus Christ we ought to be. Folks, eternity's coming. I don't know about you, but I really believe that Jesus Christ is coming back real soon. I believe it could be any day. I mean, you don't have to be too smart to look around and see that, you know, this world's not going to last forever. I believe He's coming, folks. May we not be found wanting when He returns.